Well, I desire your prayers. I feel very needy of the Lord. I'd like to start tonight with a scripture in the 24th chapter of Matthew. About the 36th verse. It says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I suppose probably that there hasn't been a subject in the Bible, probably since the dawn of Christianity, that's probably been in more controversy than this has. Probably there's not been anything that's been discussed and considered throughout the ages as this idea. And I've been wondering some about it. I wonder if we really believe it. Believe that Jesus is going to come back someday. I believe he said he was. And I think probably in this very advanced age of thinking and communications and all that we have to understand the things around us, understand the more and more as man understands the workings of the things around him, I think it becomes more difficult for man to simply have faith to believe that the Lord said that all those many years ago and that it's actually going to happen. I think the smarter people become, the further away they get from simple faith. But the Lord did say that he was going to come back one day. I believe that. Not that I totally understand it all or that I have great insight into it. I won't say that. But I believe it because he said it. When we talked the other night about the Lord's prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem, folks, he nailed it. I think the Lord purposely did that for the age that was to come, and I think there was a lot of likenesses of that time and the end time. I think it's the way it's written. And I also think that the Lord set that there for us to understand even this in our day. That was an astounding thing to have happened. That the Lord so many years before that so prophesied it and caused it to come to pass that he surely was in control of all of it. And he mixed and mingled his words there to understand that one day he'll come back. One day he'll come back. And it's been a controversy, and the scripture talks about it, and you can look it up if you want, about how people's gainsayed that and how because it wasn't speedily, men have set it in their hearts to do evil, and how that they, because he delays his coming, men don't really think that's going to happen because he hasn't come. But folks, he still said that one of these days that he's going to come. And I'd like to think about that, but also along with it, the idea that we don't know about life. The Lord keeps it for himself. He said here of his coming that no man knoweth. No, not even the angels knoweth. But you know, there's a lot about life that you could say that about. God keeps most of it exclusively, don't he, to himself. I don't know when I'm going to die. I may live long enough that I say it this way, I might die soon enough, I guess would be the most accurate way to say it. I may die soon enough that the Lord, I won't be here when the Lord comes. But I'm still going to have to face the inevitable end of my existence here. As if he did. It'll be too late for me. I find much of life that way. I'm not so arrogant that I walk hardly moments without the realization that I don't know what's going to happen. Because I've been blindsided so many times in my life. Just when I think that I've got it and the way I've got it thought in my mind, the way something's going to be. And when I think that way, just about every time when I get it really good and set, the way things are going to be, something just pops up that I had no mind of or no thought of. And that just totally blindsides me. Oh, there was one time I remember. We'd been busy and it was up into the night and I thought, boy, am I tired. And I am looking forward to a good night's sleep tonight. And I had set it in there just a few more minutes or just a little bit of time, and about a half hour, we're going to be able to go to bed, and I'm looking so forward, just a good night's sleep, that was just what's on my heart. And just in a moment, there was nothing going on out of the usual, nothing. And just in a moment, one of my children just walked into the living room and was just there. Everything was just fine. And just threw up right in the floor. Just threw up. Little child. Just threw up. Well, what was that? And went and don't you know? And just like that, I went up. And what caused that? And got the feeling. They fevered up. And they was fine. A moment ago, everything was fine, and now they've thrown up in the floor, and they're fevered, and they couldn't go to sleep, and guess who was up all night? All night. I was up all night with a sick child in my arm trying to get them to rest, and they would rest, and I don't know if you all have had this experience, but it's been my experience. My children, when they're sick, will rest as long as I'm in an awkward situation. If I've either got to be leaning up against the wall or I've got to be crooked over in there, if I make myself comfortable in that recliner, they're going to wake up and start fussing. I've got to contort myself some way is the way it seems like. But I was blindsided. I thought I had it down. I'm going to have a good night. And I deserve one. I need one. And right at the time I thought I had it figured out and what I was going to do, I get blindsided. So I know how life is with those kind of things. And it's much more than just those things in life. There's some very serious things about life. I put on the board, it's kind of a thought, been thinking about today. Had I known. This scripture says that when Jesus comes, it's going to be as it was in the day of Noah. But as the days of Noah were, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In the days of Noah, the scripture says that the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only continual, evil continual. They had no thought of better things. They had no thought of nobler or higher things. They was in a downward spiral. And the thoughts and imaginations was only for fleshly purposes. Or that's the way the scripture seems to read. That they had deteriorated away from the thought of God and the sacrificing to God and to giving God homage for who he was. And they had deteriorated into the only thing that they ascribed to was the things of the flesh. And they continued on as generations before them had. It's the way it's written. I don't see anything inherently evil about eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage other than this idea. The idea is that them, the carnal things of life, they gave no attention beyond the carnal things of life. That's all that they ascribed to. And it says also that when in that day that they continued this process though they were warned. Though they were warned. Though they had a voice crying. Though there was something that was there to dissent against what they had thinking. The preaching of Noah was there in that day to give them the idea of something else. But yet though it was there, it didn't play into their thinking. It didn't add up to them. And when the flood come, it sounds as if though. They had no concept or thought that it could ever happen. When it came without the understanding of it. It came in a moment, in a time when they didn't, wasn't thinking, their mind wasn't on it. I'm going to tell you, that blindsided those people. It totally blindsided them. And I can say this. Don't you think that they could say, had I known? Had I really known? Of the magnitude of what this really was going to be. I don't think they had a concept of it totally. It took something to believe that. It really took something to believe that. I think God put in man as he made him to be able to believe and accept truth. I believe there's something in a man that allows him to know when things are errant and wrong. I believe down in the hearts of man, they knew something in there wasn't right about their lives. And yet with that, they never was able to go and be able to do anything with it. They shunned the whole thing because of the world around them. They was living to the flesh to such a degree that they wasn't in a place to be able to accept the word that it came. And when it came, the flood swept them away. And what a terrible, terrible time. That must have been totally blindsided. Don't you know today that those people had plans for tomorrow? Don't you know that they had plans for their children? Don't you know there was some of them that was engaged or espoused in that day? Don't you know that everything that went on in life was present at that time in the hearts and the minds of these people? They had intended to go on with the weeks ahead. Don't you know some of them had planted seeds? Some of them had harvests to get in. Some of them had the normal things of life. No doubt there were some foundations of some homes partly laid. All the things of life, you think about it. There was wells that was halfway dug. There was life that was going on in existence that they was going on. And what was they getting ready for? Life. They were going to live, wasn't they? They were going to live and they was going to do what they needed to do. And all these things that people just naturally do was in these people. And I say this, you might say, had I known, had I known that really was true. Oh, I'd have done it different. I'd have done something different than digging that well at that time. Wells, there's nothing wrong with wells. There's nothing with foundations of houses. There's nothing with planting and reaping, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But all I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, there's something that's got to come first. In every being's life, every man, woman, child's life, there has to be something that comes first. We've got to take care of the needs of our souls, folks. First and foremost, we've got to make sure that it's right with the Lord. Then if you dig a well and it gets partly dug and it never gets finished, oh well, glory be to God. I've said many times in our conversations, well, I'm going to do such and such. And if I don't, I'll be in a better place than this. So it won't matter. But I want us to think about this idea tonight. Had I known, how much different would I have done things? Had I known, because the truth of it is, there is a countless multitude of souls in eternal damnation as we preach tonight that could say, had I known that the tomorrow was my last day. Had I known that tonight the breath will leave my body. Had I have only known I had such a short time left. Had I only known that truck was going to cross the median the way it did. Had I only known the earthquake would hit the way it did. Had I only known my arteries was clogged like they were. If I had only known that the thing that I held so dear in my life was about to run out. If I'd only known my life was so short. Had I only known. I've been willing to do something different than what I've done. But here's the inevitable truth. We don't know. God holds some things to himself. The old rabbin said, the two things that God never gave to man, never relinquished, was the keys to reign and the keys to life and death. He for always holds the ability to run his creation. And he holds life and death. It's in his hands. Did you notice he never let the devil have that in the temptation to Job? He said no. He never relinquishes that. He keeps that to himself. But it's kept to himself. And he'll bring it to its conclusion. And we don't know when that'll be. God is loving and merciful, and I'm glad that he is. And I don't know why he makes the decisions that he does. But I've seen people leave out in this world awful young and awful quick and not knowing just exactly where they're at. There was a story over my hometown. I was, of course, older. I didn't know the young man. The young man over there that liked to, he played football. And he liked cars and he liked to drive fast. Well, he got a speeding ticket. The coach heard about it, and he played football, and the coach heard about it, and so he was punishing for that behavior. Didn't want him to be like that. So the coach made him run extra laps, or run the hill, or whatever it was. Made him run extra. And it upset the young man. He was 17 years old. 17. Well, that sounds young to me. 17 years old. Football team was going to a banquet that night, and most of them all was on the school bus, but he was driving his car. Upset. Coach was unfair. Probably the law is unfair, too, for giving him a ticket to start with. He was behind the school bus, all the students on the school bus, and he went roaring around the school bus. And as he went, he passed the school bus. He cut too quick to come back in, went off the road, cut back, rolled the car, rolled 9 times. His classmates got to see him die there in the road, 17 years old. Boy, it don't take much, does it? I don't like to make such judgments, but only the Lord knows. But to imagine that a young man lifted up his eyes into something that he never believed ever existed, and he might have said, had I known. Had I known that the story that I heard the old radio preacher proclaim, had I only known that Grandma's words were actually true, if I had only known that the very conscience within me that spoke against the kind of life that I was living, had I only known that it really does lead to this kind of a place, had I only known, had I known that my life was going to end there in my 17th year, if I'd only known, I'd have done something, and now what's the hope of my existence? I only lived 17 years on the earth, and now, Eternal? Had I only known that there is really a such thing as eternity? Had I only known that you only live once? I've heard stories of people that get to come back and be something else. Had I only known that that was fabrication and fairy tales? Had I only known once you get here, you can't get out? Had I only known, I'd have done something different. I'd have been different than I am. If I'd have only known the fun and the pleasures of sin for a season, wouldn't have had its hold like it did. Had I only known the terror of this place, the flames of fire that I feel burning, the agony of my conscience, and the disobedience that I had that burns at me, and the awfulness and the hate that I feel within me, if I'd only known, I'd have done it different. Yes. Folks, we're here tonight with life, life to live. And we can also say, I know those things, I've heard them, and I believe tonight that there is a place called hell. I believe tonight that the Lord's going to come back one of these days. And I also believe that if he doesn't, that I'm going to go out of here. Oh, he's going to come back. But if he don't do it in my lifetime, I still believe that my life is here. I'm 48 years old. And I know some of you say, that's an old man. And some of you say, that ain't so old. It don't matter where you're really at, because what I'm starting to feel is the things that are changing about my body. I feel the deterioration of it. Oh, I'm not saying I'm decrepit. I'm just saying I feel the change. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And I thank God for the renewal. But the outward man is perishing, and I feel it. I feel it in my body happening to me. The Lord help us tonight. Had I only known. Had I only known God didn't really approve of the way I lived my life. Had I only known that the things that I tried to do in life was really me trying to do them. Had I only known. Had I only known that I was living to my flesh all my life, if I'd only known. Lord, help us. And we'll read some more of this. It says, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall grinding at the meal, and the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he come, shall find so doing. The 25th chapter starts off then. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. What awesome, terrible words to be spoken. And the door was shut. You know, that signified something here. Some of them made it before the door shut. I've noted in my lifetime that there is something, let me say, exciting or something challenging, if you would. Writers of many, many stories have wrote against a race against the clock. It's a common theme, a race against the clock. Bomb's going to blow up, and there's a team of expert demolition men that's racing the clock, and it's clicking down, and they look at the clock will be down to a minute, and this, and just that the last seconds the wires pull off and it stops. 1 second to go. Oh, it's an exciting idea. And it's captivated people's minds down through the history of those kind of things. And many, many, many stories have been written about it, and songs have even been sung about it, and many, many motion pictures and stories and all those kind of things has been made to the idea. And it captures people's attention, to be thrilled to the point, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? But you know, there is a reality, and it's an awesome, terrible reality, that we are in a race with time for the souls of men. We are in a race. We're trying all that we can do to be able to allow, get souls to their place before that ultimate time that the door shuts. This is what happened in this time, this story. The 5 of them went in when the bridegroom came, and the door was shut, signifying there is an entrance. Had I only known. What do you think about 5 that were called virgins that lived a religious existence? No doubt they did. Things meant something. It wasn't like they were just heathens. Well, I mean, they came for something. They put much time and devotion into something to make of them something. But not quite. Oh, that's just fearful to me. To think that just come to that place of existence that could be recognized and entitled like that. Put a title on them. And yet, they could say, had I only known. How was I to know? It was possible that we slept the night through and didn't need oil. He didn't come last night. It could have been the daylight and we wouldn't have needed the light. Had I had known that the call would be made in the midnight hour. Had I only known that it was going to be at that kind of a time. Many people live this kind of an existence in the Lord. I'm not at all condemning. Hang in there and keep going. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're down here at that time, what does it mean? Well, it just, camp meetings, I usually get hold of something and then somewhere else, I slide back and, but these people had an existence too. And think, had I only known. How was I to know that that truck was going to come across the median when I was way down here? When I'd been dallying around with the Lord, and when I hadn't prayed in weeks, and when I've been touching and tasting of things that I shouldn't have been tasting, but been going to service, and I'm just weak in faith. And how did I know? Had I known, you better believe I'd have been on the peak of the thing. Had I known? But I didn't know. Folks, this is real. This is a reality. Over and over we have these kind of things. We have to bury our people many times and behind the scenes. And somebody will say, did you have hope? Well, I had some. Yeah, they've been coming some. I mean, it's in the hands of God. Had I known, had I only known, I think it'd make a big difference. This scripture says, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know not when the Son of Man cometh. It can be at any time in our lives. You don't know when that hour might be. I want to look at another scripture. A familiar scripture. It's in Luke. 12th chapter of Luke. Sixteenth verse says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I like to make this point, in case it just slides by. This man never did much more than, sounds like he was sitting in his easy chair to me. He didn't really do any of the things that he said. If you listen to the way it's told, he just thought them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like a pretty good plan. Got it all together here. One of the old writers made this comment. Security and sensuality are likely to be the epidemical disease of the latter days. Boy, I thought he wrote that a couple hundred years ago, and I thought, now there's some insight for you. It's nailed our present time. Security and sensuality are likely to be epidemical diseases of the latter day. This man was in that kind of a place, and he said, with all that was around him, I've got it made. I don't say how old he was, but you know, I don't know. He might have been a fairly young man, and he looked at life and the situation of life and said, I've got a bunch of stuff. I've got plenty to eat. I've got all that I need. And all I have to do now is make me some big barn to hold it in. And boy, am I going to be sitting real pretty for a while here. But I'll challenge you with this thought. I wonder if he might not been able to say, had I known. Had I only known. He kind of was blindsided like I was one night. His night ended about the same way. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And boy, I'm looking forward to doing it. And it's all going to be good. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. I know it starts just by saying it was a parable to say something to us. But this is the inevitable end to many, many people who trust in the riches and the times that they live in. Folks, we live in a prosperous, prosperous time. Relatively speaking, I want us to be challenged today. Oh, we think, and we woe us a lot of times if we don't have two or three cars extra or if we don't have a big enough. But I'm going to tell you, in the relative terms of human civilization, there's not been a time like it. We have more in the way of material things and the ability to go and to do and to travel and to have food and to do those things than any generation that's ever been. The poorest of all of us lived better than the kings a few hundred years ago. We're just blessed in that and then in the security of what we have. If we're not careful, we're going to end up in a place and said, had I known, had I only known, I thought I could do better. I thought if I eat right, I thought if the thing, it'd go my way. But this man had all this going for him and he trusted in it. And he was rich in all those things, but he wasn't rich in God. And I imagine that he would have said at one point when the Lord said, your soul is required, and he noticed that Aaron knows this, that his riches, his fruits, his vegetables, his bigger barns, or his intentions to have them, or all that he had, whether it was ever even harvested or still standing in the field. He must have said, how can I draw from them now? I'm dying. My breath's leaving me. They're not helping me. They're supposed to be a God. They're supposed to help. They give life, but you can't call on them now. There's no help to it. This man died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And he might very well said, had I known that my life would have been taken tonight, my thinking would have been totally, totally different. I read a story one time about a man that was 35 years old and got a disease and was dying. He had been an extremely successful businessman, man. And he was a Christian person, so called. He went to service on Sundays when he had time to do it. But when he got down and dying, his friends gathered around him. And as they looked down on him, and he looked back at them, and he said words like this. He said, I know what you're thinking. And if I was in your place, I'd be thinking the same kind of thoughts. I'd be thinking what a pity it is for a man in the very point of his life, in his most successful time, in his youth, to be successful like he is. What a pity that he die. What a pity that he be laying here in such a place like that. But he said, that's far from where my mind's at this time. He said something to the fact that I'd give half of all that I ever made to have 1 year to serve God with a full intention. That's what he said. He said, for you see, I never did. I've given my money and I've attended services. But oh, what I'd give for 1 year to serve God with a full intention before I leave out of here. It was the last words the man ever said. And he went out into eternity that way. And he might have very well said, had I known, had I only known that all that I gathered in this world at the end would sustain me. Oh, what I would give to be able to prove to God that I really meant it. Because here is the truth, folks, about life. I have no way of proving this if you'll just give me the liberty of my experiences of life. I think God is ready to take men in at any time they meet the condition. But faith is the way we get saved. And what we do in life affects that faith. And when a man has shunned God all of his life, and he comes down to the idea of dying many times, it's hard for faith to go over that. And for him to really say, if I had it to do over, I'd serve God all the way. When it's really saying in his heart, I loved what I'd done. And it's hard to have faith over the existence that he lived. God's ready to meet that. But he can't have faith to it. But it's not hard once he goes to the other side to say, had I only known what really lies beyond the grave in a man's life. Five of these virgins were wise in the fact that they kept themselves ready. They kept up to date. They were there in the right position. And when the call was made, they was able to trim their lamps and light their lights. And when they got there, the lights was burning bright. And the Lord said, come in. To the other ones, they very well could have said, had I only have known that he would come at that time and at that hour, I surely would have had the oil that was necessary. For you see, I've attended service all my life, and I believed in the higher things of life. I have attempted to do right to my fellow man and all those kind of things. And I have been religious in my life. And when it comes to giving the things, of, I have done it. I've done those kind of things. But had I only known that God expected more out of my life than just the superficial things. Oh, God, if I'd only known that when God looked down on it, that he wanted me to have salvation burning in my life. Lord, help us tonight. Look at another scripture. It's in Luke 16. We'll just touch on a little bit of it. Luke 16 and 19 says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed with purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How true, how true. This scripture is the best insight that the scripture gives really into the year after. And there are some particular points to this. I think it can be accurately said that that man was saying, had I only known. Had I only known, for he wanted to send back to his brothers. I think it would be accurate to say, had I only known. I'd have told him. If I could, I'd tell him. It's not that a beggar is automatic for heaven any more than a rich man's automatic for hell. That's not what this is saying. But the power of them leads towards it. When a man feels beggarly, he's a lot closer to God. He's a lot more apt and in a better place for it when he feels the desperation of life. And so it is with a rich man. He's further away from God when he feels independent, when he feels secure in himself. He's further away from the kingdom than ever. As you say, had I only known that this would be the end of this. And I think likewise that you could say Lazarus would also said, though he was tormented in the present life, and though he had little, and though he had what? They said the evil things of life. He was afflicted and sore, and he was beggarly, and he was poor. And he ate sometimes, and sometimes he didn't, the way it sounded like. But I think when he was in Abraham's bosom, he wouldn't have said he regretted any of it. I think he would have said, I thank the Lord that I had the existence that I did, because now I can forever be with the Lord. What a place to be in. And I think that he must have known and had faith more than just being a beggar, because that ain't what saves you, is being a beggar. He had a faith in God. And he allowed it to be true. Folks, this is the point of it. Lazarus was true to God, though he was a beggar. That's the power of this scripture. He had grace of God to be a beggar. He had the grace of God to let the dogs lick his sores. He had the grace of God to be there and be subject to an earthly man that had food. He allowed himself to be faithful in all of that. And he never regretted that he did when he got to Abraham's bosom. But the rich man may have said, had I only known, I would have traded him places. Had I only have known, I'd have done a better job with what I had. Because richness isn't necessarily the plague that sends you to hell. It's not having the grace of God to live rich, to be able to do what you ought to do with those things. Lord, help us tonight. Had I only known that this was where this was going to get me to. Had I only known that that little dabbling in sin was going to take me down a course of habits and down the road of destruction till I get to the place that it's hard to have faith. It's hard to believe after I've shunned God and I'm an old man. It's hard to believe. It's hard for me to believe that God would. It's the faith. I want to look at one more scripture. Oh, it's in Ecclesiastes. In the 14th verse, it says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. I find this so absolutely true in my life. It's as if the Lord said, when things are going well, thank God for it. Rejoice. Rejoice and be happy. Live life. And enjoy the creation of God. When those kind of things go, rejoice. But in the time of adversity, don't let it be lost to you. Consider your morality, your life of righteousness, the way you live life, your mortality, I should say, the fact that we don't live forever. And the Lord set one to the other. And it seems like the Lord has done that in my life, that he has set them. You go through spaces of time. Adversity, prosperity. Adversity, prosperity. Adversity, prosperity. Adversity, prosperity. And it goes in that, and it says that he set one against the other in the spaces of time of a person's life. That you don't know one, which one's coming. Well, if you do, you let me know after service and tell me the way you do. Let me know that you're going to prosper. The next few days will be prosperous, or will they be adversity? And God set one against the other, and it's the pattern that he made into the human existence. So that no one would know one against the other.
And it sure keeps us in a place, Lord, if we'd allow it to do it, to realize what is the next adversity I've got to face in life. I'll be honest with you, even down into my life, there's been times that I've said, and I ain't talking about dying, I'm talking about there's been times I'd said, had I known, had I known that I was about to go through this, I sure would have prepared. I sure would have had things in order, had I only known. But God makes it till we don't know. I challenge you tonight. The very seed of our physical death is already in us. You're going to that inevitable end. Folks, you don't know when it's going to come and how it's going to come. And this is not to be discouraging, but I want to encourage you tonight. Live for God all your heart, with all your heart, all the time. I'd like to see us. I'm not envisioning right now a great worldwide revival. But I am sure in my spirit that God wants to revive His people to a higher, more fervent level. And I ain't putting off the fact that there's others to save. That's what I'm saying. I think God wants to get us fervent. I think God wants to lift us up. I think God wants us to be livelier in our day, in our time. I think God sends these kind of messages for a reason. I think God wants us to be aware of the life around us and what it's all about, and to live like that. Not just if we didn't know, it would change us. But we don't know. And we're to live like that all of our life. We're to live to God, knowing that these things are coming into our lives. And it's God that preserves us through it all. And it's God that's meaningful at all. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be one of the right ones to get into the door. There come a time in the days of Noah, and that was what it was likened to, that when it was all done and the storm came, the scripture says, and the Lord shut the door. God's hand moved on that door and shut it. And it had to be that way, folks, because there was a type in that. No man openeth and no man closes. But I'm going to tell you, when God closes the door, it's shut. In His great mind, in His great heart, when He shuts the door, it's shut. And I fear that time that I'd be standing on the outside looking, wanting, longing to be in and saying these words, had I known. Had I known that it was that close. This very age of ours that we live in breeds an indifferent attitude, a lethargy of the spirit and soul. Lord, help us to be able to rise above that and be able to seek God for the grace and the power to be able to live fervent lives right here looking to the Lord. You pray for me.